You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida. We greet you and welcome you to our program wherever you are. If you're at home, listen to the radio program or in a car listening, or maybe you're somewhere on the computer. We welcome you to the program and we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. So we're into an incredible season, aren't we, Pastor Don? We're going to talk about some things about a festival of dedication. It's called Hanukkah in the Hebrew. And remember, Hanukkah and Purim were not ordained by God. They were not appointed times, but things happened in history. And God remembers those things, and so He's going to honor those things as we see through this, even the part about Hanukkah, how God never forgets those things that when a kingdom or a nation comes against the nation of Israel. So we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on from 12 noon until 1, and so it's an honor. We've been doing this for 19 plus years, and I was just thinking, Pastor Donna, that just in a few weeks in January 3rd, our ministry will be 24 years old. It's hard to believe how the time goes, but here we are, and time's going on. So we pray that you can glean something from what you hear today. It's not about Don and I. It's about the Holy Word, the foreshadows, the patterns. I love patterns in the Bible that God wants to show us of things in the future. And whether you believe it or not, we are in the last of the last days, aren't we, Pastor Don?
That's right.
The clock is ticking down fast. And so we want to be in tune, and we won't be fooled or deceived or have any fear, because the Lord has everything under control. And so we just thank you for that, Lord. And I've shared this on the program before. You know, when I first got saved, I was in a good church and all that and heard a lot of good things. But as the time went on, one day I remember I was talking with the Lord, and I just knew there was something missing that I wasn't getting. And I kept talking to Him about it, praying. And one day I just basically heard His voice say, "You've been robbed of my appointed times, the Jewishness that I put in the scriptures for you to know and understand about these last days." And that really, that just stirred me up in 1988 to begin to look at some things like never before. And so I began to look at the Jewish things and look through Jewish glasses and understand some things a little bit different. So in 1988, I went on an adventure, and I went through a lot of things. I looked at a lot of Jewish, I'm talking about Messianic Jewish writings and all that, and I had a hunger like never before. And when you're hungry, God, you'd be so hungry you can't be denied, and God's going to bring you to that place. And so began to show me some things. And so then we wound up writing this book about the prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah through God's appointed times. It's God. It's His appointed times. It's not the Jewish appointed times. It's God's. He gave it to them to remember what happened in history with their life and all. You know, there was a season they were in. But also, all of them have something prophetic to the future. And so here we are. We're coming up on these. You know, the first four appointed times have been completely fulfilled. Now we're getting ready to get into these latter appointed times, and Yeshua hasn't fulfilled all of it yet, but we're coming up to that time. And so we want to be in tune, not caught in darkness, to know what the truth is. And the truth, Jesus said, would what? Make us free. So we're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. If you can't, we do offer CDs or a tape, whatever you want. And all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail to Post Office Box 413-413. And that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. And we'll be glad to get it out to you. And so we're honored to be here with you again. So we're going to talk about a time called, we mentioned, dedication. It's mentioned in John 10. Jesus honored that time, didn't he, Pastor Donna? He was there in the temple. And dedication in the Hebrew is what? Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. Dedication.
Hanukkah.
And Jesus,
right. Dedication.
And Jesus honored it, and Jesus celebrated
it. He sure did.
Every single year.
That's
and
right.
So I always think about this as the times that the Lord, you know, it's like you said, it's not one of the seven feasts, but it is a time of
remembrance, and God remembers.
And it's also going to be, it's a time about the end times, about prophecy, what's going to happen in the last days.
Hallelujah.
And so we need to know these things and what Hanukkah means, dedication, to dedicate our lives again. You know, it's very similar to the Feast of Tabernacles. They light, it means
that's
dedication
light.
Of light.
Woo. Yeah.
And it lasts for 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to mention too, Pastor Gene, before we get started, I want to mention that we have service here in Stuart, Florida. And you can also listen to us on the internet, WCNO.com. And you can go there and listen to many other programs that we have done in the past. Just go to the website, WCNO.com, mm-hmm. and go to Saturday and look for at 12 o'clock noon, and you'll see Raising the Standard. And you can listen to this program again. You may be driving down the road, and you may not get the whole thing. You may want to listen to it again. You may do
Amen.
That. And we also have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have a Friday night Shabbat service at 7 p.m. And we meet on some Saturdays. This Saturday we will not be having meeting this Saturday. But the following Saturday we will. And then we also have Sunday morning. We come together at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. And we always have a celebration, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
That's the name of the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy, right out of Revelation 19:10, where it says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the Spirit of Prophecy.
That's how we got the church name that God gave me way back.
So we come in at 10 o'clock, and we just enjoy the Lord, and we
yes,
enjoy
we
each
do.
Other, and we have... pretty long service, so if you come, plan on, you know, either if you can stay or you know, whatever the Lord leads, and then we always have a meal afterwards, so that's every Sunday at 10.
So Amen. We ask the Lord to visit us, don't we? Every every time we come together,
He wants to visit us. He wants to visit us. And
that's
so,
right.
We just want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So,
right.
you know, we worship and we teach and we just pray and we just, whatever the Lord wants, that we want to be led by the Holy Spirit, by
Nothing
the Holy Ghost.
Program, led by Him, right?
Led by the Lord,
Not
amen.
By some program, yes.
So this time of dedication, it's also was for, we should rededicate our lives.
That's
you know,
right.
And it has to do with, we're going to talk about the history of it, because, you know, the enemy wants to tear us down. It says, the Bible says that in John 10:10, that, you know, the thief, which is the devil, He comes, what, to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
Well, he came to destroy the temple.
That's right.
And he used a man that we're going to talk about.
That's right.
Which is a picture of the Antichrist.
Absolutely.
Well, he also, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Hallelujah.
If you're born again and you have asked Jesus in your heart, then you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we're a temple. We're not a temple like a building, but we are a temple, a walking temple, amen, a human temple.
We're a lively temple.
Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you know, we have the Lord in us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. So good.
The God, the Father, and the Son, amen. So the enemy wants to destroy us, and we should be rededicating our temple.
All the time.
All the time, every day. But this is a picture of rededication. It's called the Feast of Dedication. And like Pastor Gene said, it's called Hanukkah. And it happens to start this December on the 25th.
That's right.
Actually, the 25th.
The calendar matches with the Hebrew
evening.
Calendar, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah.
Right. This calendar, in fact, our calendar is done. If you'd like a copy of the Hebrew of our calendar, which also has the Hebrew calendar on it,
mm-hmm.
we're in the month of Kislev, and it does. It matches up. Normally, it doesn't match up perfectly, but this one does. The first day of Kislev is on Thursday, and the first day of December was on Thursday as well.
That's
so
right.
The numbers all match up this month. And so it actually, when this Feast of Dedication starts at the same time that Christmas starts, you know, Christmas Eve, and then it starts on the eve of the 24th, and it goes for 8 days till January the 3rd. So these 8 days are all the eight. What do? We have a candelabra, and you light one candle.
For each day.
For each day, and then the second day you light two candles, mm-hmm. and third day three candles, and so forth. And, you know, the light should be getting brighter.
That's right.
As we dedicate our life, we get closer and closer to the Lord, and our light should be getting brighter and brighter daily as we see these things coming upon the earth. You know, things are going to get darker and darker in the world. We see that. But those who are believers, we need to be brighter and brighter
all the
and
time
to dispel the darkness
Push
and to walk in the light
yes.
of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in the light of the Lord.
Thank you,
so
Lord.
Tell us a little bit about the history of Hanukkah, Pastor Gene.
So I think we
happened
will.
Many, many years ago.
Sure did. That's right. Back around, started around 164 BC in that area. And some of you probably heard bits and pieces about Hanukkah, and some Christians say, well, that's a Jewish thing. We don't need to know about that. But there's so much in it for us to apply to our lives as well. And so we have to think about it, a time called Hanukkah or dedication when the Maccabees fought back from this Seleucid king that came, and his name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV, and they took back the temple and then rededicated the temple. And the miracle we know, we've all heard about that. There wasn't enough oil to last for 8 days, but they found one flask of the anointed oil. They anointed and lit the candle, and the candelabra, as Donna talked about, and it lasted for the 8 days. And so it was a time of dedication.
It was a miracle.
It was a miracle. So think about this, and we talk about this prophetically. In the future, when the millennial kingdom is established and beginning to be established, the temple that will be there at that time that was in mid-tribulation, it'll be there by mid-tribulation, it's going to be desecrated by the false Messiah. There will be another dedication of the temple again, and guess when it will be? We're going to prove it maybe this week and next week. It's going to be during Hanukkah, which is dedication. And so it's an amazing thing. We can see this in the scriptures as we look at this. Ezekiel even reveals the 8 days of it. And so we'll talk about that as we go. We don't want to get the horse before the cart. We want to kind of follow along here. So let's talk about the main thing, which is the history of this. And to really understand this, I've heard people mention on TV and radio and different places that there's nothing in the First Covenant that reveals anything at all about Hanukkah. I don't believe that's true. I want to take you to Daniel chapter 8, and I want to show you some things here that reveals to us what God had in plan in the future, and that the temple would be desecrated, and there would be, what, a time of rededication, better known as Hanukkah. So I'm going to take you to Daniel chapter 8, and we're going to read some verses here. I want you to see what the Bible has to say about it. See, it doesn't matter what I think or my opinion. What matters is what this Word has to say. And so we honor you, Lord, for your holy word. It never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything in here is truth for us today. Even the things that are bad, it's truth showing us to stay away from it. He shows us the good and the bad. And so we thank you for that. But he's going to show us here what Antiochus Epiphanes did at this time. So I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 8 with you. I'm going to start in the first verse, and we're going to read a few verses here. So, Lord, I pray right now, those that are listening, that they will have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says with all this to them themselves, to understand what you're wanting them to know about this time, because it's apropos for the season that we're in, and we're coming into the last of the last days. And so we release the listeners, as always, to hear what you want said and not what somebody else, maybe somebody else has taught them something else about this, and they're going to realize through this that what they heard was wrong. Maybe they heard something was right, I hope, but they might have heard some things that are wrong, like this, that there's nothing in the First Covenant about the time called Hanukkah and how it was established, but it's here. So here we go. Chapter 8, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, this is unto Daniel, even unto Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw, that I was in Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision that I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, so he's having an open vision here, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. A ram which had two horns. This is going to, this is interesting. Now, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and higher. And the higher one came up later. This is referring to the Medes and the Persians. This ram represents the Medes and the Persians. Now, verse 4, I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. Hallelujah. Now, verse 5, and as I was considering, behold, now we have a he-goat, a goat come up from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. This is now talking about the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great was this notable horn that was between his eyes. And you notice it says, he came swiftly and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Daniel also saw in a vision himself in the book of Daniel about the leopard. You know, the leopard was a picture of the Grecian Empire because it came so swiftly. Now, verse 6 says, and he, he's talking about this notable horn, which was, what, Antiochus Epiphanes, and he came to the ram that had two horns, which had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler. Choler just means rage in the King James, against him, and smote the ram. So what happened here? The Medes and the Persians were put down, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. Who's this? Before Alexander the Great. But he cast him down to the ground. Alexander did. His army, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So Alexander the Great became great, and at the age of 33, as you study history with the Greeks and all that, you find out that this horn was broken. He died at 33 years of age. He was called the Great Horn, for it came up upon four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Hallelujah. Now, the interesting thing with verse 8 here is when Alexander the Great died, he didn't give his kingdom that he had to his children, his posterity. He picked the four generals that helped him conquer the world at that time. One in the north, one in the south, one in the east, and one in the west. But the Bible is only interested in the king of the north and the king of the south. The king of the north was the Seleucids. This is where Antiochus Epiphanes came out of. The king of the south was Egypt. It was Egypt, the other southern group of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we go to verse 9. And out of one of them, what? Out of one of them, out of one of those kingdoms that Alexander gave to his four generals, came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. Well, the pleasant land has to be Yeshua. So this little horn here, this is Antiochus Epiphanes that came out of the Seleucid Empire. This is very interesting when we look at this. And by the way, you might keep this in remembrance as we go along in the next couple of weeks. He was the eighth king that came out of the Seleucid Empire. And after those eight kings, God didn't talk about any of them, and there's several of them that came after that. So keep that in mind. So he went toward the pleasant land, which was Israel. And it waxed great, Epiphanes did, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host. These are the Jews and of the stars, the holy people, to the ground and stamped upon them. And he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. Who in the world would that be? That was probably maybe the high priest, okay? And by him, now here's the key thing with these verses. The daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now remember, in Judaism, in Jesus' day and even after that, as long as the temple was standing, the Jewish people were required to offer two free will offerings every single day, in the morning at 9 and one between the two evenings at 3 p.m. So he mentions about the daily sacrifice. Well, there's two of them each day. So they was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was what? Cast down. So this is the first time the sacrifice, daily sacrifice, was mentioned. And a host was given him, or an army, against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. So here's the second time this is mentioned. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So we know that Antiochus Epiphanes came in, desecrated the temple, and if you know anything about history with the Greeks and what happened there, their god was Zeus, He took a statue of Zeus, put his face on it, put it in the temple, and desecrated the temple. He even urinated on the temple. Okay, wanted them to offer a swine on it, and of course we know that the Jewish priests didn't do that, and so there was some who were killed and all because they wouldn't follow through with that. And so it says that he was the one that practiced and prospered these things. He stopped all the Jewish appointed times. He took away everything that they did during those times. He totally shut off Judaism completely. He changed the times and the seasons of those things that God put in place for the Jews. Well, the Maccabees weren't too happy about that. And so there was a family called the Maccabees who took a group of men and gathered together, the brothers and all that, and they drew some people. And it was not a huge number, and they decided to fight. I like to call it like guerrilla warfare. They went to the mountains, and it took them 3 years, and we'll find that out here in a moment, 3 years and 70 days to take back the temple and then to rededicate. It was a miracle that God did with a handful of men because God was on their side. And so they were so upset that they did this. And now let's go on with this now. Verse 13 now in chapter 8 says, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning," here we go, "the daily sacrifice," the third time it's mentioned, "and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot." So the question was asked, how long will it be? Well, the Bible tells us how long will it be, okay? So let's read on here. So this is kind of giving you the history of what happened. And this didn't happen overnight, you know. This took 3 years and 70 days, the Bible, we're going to show you this, that for them to take the temple area back and to win the battle, okay? Now, we just read verse 13, and look at 14, and we got to look at this real close. "And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Now, a lot of people think this is referring to the Jacob's trouble, you know, the Jacob's trouble or the tribulation, they talk about it. Well, we got to think about this for a moment. "He said unto me, Unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." So this is interesting. They had to have two sacrifices every single day, not just one, two. So there was, what God's telling us here, there was 2,300 days of sacrifices, okay? And there were 2,300 sacrifices were failed to be offered to the Lord during this period. So what we have to do is take the 2,300 days and we have to divide it by two because there was two every day, okay? And he says, "Shall the sanctuary be cleansed? And it came to pass when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man." Now I'm going to jump ahead. We'll get over and read it again in a moment. Verse 26 in this chapter says this, "And the angels explaining to Daniel, and the vision of the evening and the morning." Hear this? The evening sacrifice and the morning. The evening was at 3 p.m. and the morning was at, what, 9, which was told is true. "Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, but it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. After I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it." So he was having a problem with it as well. So let's go back here and read this. Now, we just read verse 15 before this. Now, let's look at verse 16 as we look at the history here. "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." So who was the one that was talking over here? We've been just reading over here about the daily sacrifice. No, it was Gabriel, an archangel. "Make this man to understand the vision." See, God wants us, don't he, Pastor Don? He wants us to understand the vision also, that these things also apply to what's going to happen here in the very near future. We see the Antioch Epiphanes is a perfect picture of the false Messiah. He's going to do everything that the false Messiah did in Antiochus' day, which was he himself. But think about this. The false Messiah in Jacob's trouble is going to be even worse than Antiochus was. But he's a pattern to show us. Now, verse 17. "So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me," he fell before Gabriel, "understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." Now, he's talking about the time of the end of Antiochus' power and the kingdom that he had, but it also has a double meaning, what? To the end of Jacob's trouble, when there's going to be a time at the end where the same thing's going to happen. The false Messiah is going to go in at mid-tribulation, set up an image of himself and all that, and desecrate the temple. He said, "For at the time of the end shall be the vision." So we have a double meaning here. Not only did it happen in Antiochus' day, but it also is going to happen in the near future. Now, verse 18. Now, as he was speaking with me, this was Gabriel, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, here's our hey. Mm-hmm. Hey, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. So there was an indignation in that day. There was a time of a terrible distress for Israel. I'm going to read this again. He said, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. This is true with us today, looking for the false Messiah, what's going to happen. And I believe we're going to be gone during this time called Jacob's trouble, but some people don't believe that, but I believe it. It's in the Word. Verse 20, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Media and Persia. So he's going to explain it to them. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. This is Alexander the Great. And the great horn that's between his eyes is the first king. This is Alexander. Now, verse 22. Now that being broken, wherefore, as four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his same power, not in the same power that Alexander had. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sayings shall stand up. Now we know that Antiochus was one of these, but it's also a pattern paralleling what's going to happen to the false Messiah when he comes on the scene. It's going to be exactly the same thing that's going to happen. That's why God's showing this to us. Amen? Now, verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Hear this? By whose power? The enemy's going to be behind it. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. Hear that? And shall by peace destroy many. This peace here is the Hebrew word shalvah, S-H-A-L-V-A-H. It means security and not the shalom that we know. It's a different peace. Shall destroy. He's going to lie to them. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's more likely the high priest. But he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told to us, you know, he told us, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And so Daniel, he says, I fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood that. Now, let's keep that in mind for a moment. Now, this is talking about an abomination of desolations being set up at the beginning of this chapter over there, when we got over here around verses 12 and 13 and 14. He's talking about an abomination of desolation. Now, if we just move forward in Daniel, I want to take you over to chapter 11. Chapter 11 in Daniel. That's where I want to look at here. I was just thinking where I wanted to go for clarity's sake. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 27 says this, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper. Who are the two kings? The king of the north, which was Antiochus Epiphanes, and then we have the Ptolemies in the south, which was Egypt, these two kings. For yet the end shall be at what? The appointed time again. Then shall he return unto his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. Now you can read about this in 1st and 2nd Maccabees. We know those two books are not canon, but they're historical books. And you can find out what happened during those times. Amen? So you can look that up on your own. I'm not going to go and read all that. I think it's in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verse 20 through 28. And it's also mentioned in 2 Maccabees. It talks about what the Maccabees did. So he did great exploits, and he returned to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south. He's going to come against the Ptolemies in the south. But he shall not be. It shall not be as the former or as the latter. Now look at verse 30. For the ships of Chittim, this is talking about the Roman Empire's coming, shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have an indignation against the Holy Covenant. God's covenant with Israel, so shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence or show regard with them that forsake the holy covenant. Now, verse 31 is the key one. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. This is in the temple area. And shall take away what? The daily sacrifices mentioned again in the morning and in the evening. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolation. This is what Antiochus Epiphanes did. And so if we think about this, and let me get my map. I can't really see. I got a note in my Bible. It's kind of faded out from all the years looking at this. You can read about this in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, 56 through verse 61. It's a very interesting reading if you are willing to read it. And so there was an abomination set up in Antiochus' day. Verse 32 says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. He's going to come in with flattery and all these things. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do what? Exploits. Now, if we go further over into Daniel chapter 12, we find out there's another abomination of desolation that's going to come. If we go over to chapter 12, this is referring to the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice again shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days, and so on. We're going to talk about that now. Maybe we'll get that later on. But anyway, we see there's two abominations. So what God's showing you and I, was there an abomination of desolation set up in Antiochus Epiphanes' day, and there's also going to be one in the future. So he's showing you a pattern here, exactly what's going to happen the same way again. So we have to understand some things, that there's some key things in this for our life and for us to understand what he wants. I was looking at Daniel 12, verse 7. Listen to this. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half time. This is referring to 3.5 years. Time means 1 year. Times is plural, 2 years, and a half time. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So he's telling us right here, the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. We're in the time of the end. Now the revelation that's coming out of the book of Daniel for us today is incredible if we just look at it and understand the prophetic implications with all this. So this is just a quick review and telling you how Hanukkah was established. And it was started on Kislev 25 and it ran for 8 days. And it's interesting, you know, I thought about this, you know, the whole picture here was giving us the time of the year when Antiochus Epiphanes, I'll get it right in a minute, came in and established this. And so I had to do a little study, but I came up with the answer, and it's in my book I wrote about the pictures of the Messiah. And I'm going to go back over to chapter 8 with you again for a moment. We talked about the 2,300 sacrifices that were failed to be given to the Lord. So that comes out that the period is actually 1,150 days. And so when you take and figure out Jacob's trouble is 2,520 days, and when we figure out this time here, we find out this is actually 3 years and 70 days exactly on God's prophetic calendar, on his calendar. And I found this out by reading the books I got here by Josephus. He talked about the 3 years and all that. And so it means it was going to be 3 years and 70 days. So God showed me something one time, and to understand this, I made a chart that's in my book so you can see this. And so the whole thing come to a conclusion when the Maccabees rededicated the temple. It was in 164 BC. So the Lord told me, he says, go to Hanukkah, the first day of Hanukkah, Kislev 25, back up 1 year, back up 2 years, back up 3 years, and I did. And so I backed up those 3 years, and then I had 70 days left over. He said, now I'm going to show you what those 70 days are. Back up from that date in that year, 70 days, and you know what you come to? You'll come to the first day of Tabernacles, another light festival. Hanukkah was a light festival. Tabernacles is a light festival. So God's showing us there the exact season, the appointed time that Antiochus Epiphanes came in and did his dirty work. He wanted to pick the most joyous time when Israel is celebrating in joy and jumping up and down and all because it's a picture of the kingdom of God. That's when he stopped. He stopped all the sacrifices. He did everything. He polluted the temple completely, desecrated all that. And so thank God for the Maccabees that stood up and said, we're not going to tolerate this. But see, a lot of people that were conquered, if they would have been conquered in our day with something like that, we might have just went along with it because everybody else was doing it. Because it says he came in with flatteries. He was flattering the people. Want to give them this and give them that, their entitlements and all that. Well, the Maccabees knew it was not of God. And so they stood up against it. So here he's showing us this light. And so we talked about this several weeks ago, about you can prove in the scriptures in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 that Yeshua was conceived, not born, but conceived during Hanukkah. And then you go the 280 days in the future from that point, which is a normal gestation period for a woman that's pregnant, you come to the Feast of Tabernacles. So he was conceived at Hanukkah. He was born at Tabernacles. What are they? Festivals of light. Even the day that Antiochus Epiphanes chose to stop all of what God was doing with Israel for their joy and all that was on that day, the first day of Tabernacles, to shut the whole thing down. Isn't that amazing, Pastor Dunham? So we have this in the Word of God. It's right there. Now I want to show you one other thing here. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10, Pastor John. You read this. Did I say Daniel? I meant John.
Well, I'm already in John.
All right. We're going to go to John chapter 10, and Pastor Don is going to read this to you. And we might read part of this chapter because, see, Jesus picked every year. He picked in a certain time, and he said certain things, and they were always about the appointed times that his Father had put in place, okay? So we're going to read here in John chapter 10. We're going to see that our Master, our Savior, honored Hanukkah. So, Pastor Dunn, you start reading in chapter 10, verse 22.
He sure did this time also.
Yes.
And, you know, and the Jews were coming against him. You know, Jesus is a Jew, and he celebrated Hanukkah.
Sure
and
did.
He knew it was warfare. See, the Maccabees was warfare.
Sure was.
You know, and we have warfare, too, but our warfare is not
with
swords.
Weapons, right.
Or weapons. No, ours is spiritual warfare.
That's right.
And that's prayer. And worshiping the Lord. But over here in John 10, it tells us here that that it was in the winter.
Verse 22.
And I'm going to start in verse 22 of chapter 10. It says, and it was at Jerusalem the Feast of Dedication, or you could say the Feast of Hanukkah. And it was winter. So we know when it was. It was in the winter.
That's right.
And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Now, this is the same temple that was rededicated.
That's right.
It's the same temple that was rededicated, 100 and some years before that.
Yeah. And
so,
after what Antiochus did to it.
What Antiochus did, he desecrated it, as you said. And they were really coming against the Jewish people.
That's right.
And so it was tough for them. It was hard. They were having hard times.
A lot of the Jews died too.
A lot of them died, and a lot of them went and ran and hid in caves.
That's
but,
right.
You know, like you said, there was an army, a small army, the Maccabees.
The Maccabees.
And
yeah.
they weren't a big army.
Nope.
No, but they were determined to stand for truth and for righteousness and for justice. And they said, you know, it's kind of like Esther, you know.
Amen.
If I die, I die. But I'm going to fight for truth and for righteousness. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. See, he's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, let
tell us
plainly.
Plainly, yeah.
So they had an idea that he was the Christ, but they wanted to hear it from his voice, from
That's
him, right?
From his mouth, yes.
Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not the works that I do in my Father's name. So the works that he did in his Father's name, he says, they bear witness of me.
Amen.
So he was doing works. He only did the things that the Father told him to do, right? He only said what the Father told him to say.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And then he goes on, he says, but ye believed not. You believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. And that's the same now.
That's right. We can hear his voice.
And I know them, and Jesus knows us now too.
That's right.
And they follow me.
Hallelujah.
So if we're a child of God, and we're part of the sheepfold Jesus' sheep. We should follow him.
That's right.
In spirit and in truth. And mm-hmm. That's why we have to rededicate our lives, our temple, because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we have to cleanse the temple. We have to cleanse the temple of sin. And we need to pray, too, that our nation would be cleansed of sin.
That's right.
He says here, and I give unto them eternal life.
Wow.
Who's he give eternal life to?
To all of us.
Those who hear his voice.
That's
those
right.
who are his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So no one can take us out of Jesus' hand, right?
That's right.
He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now he says my hand, and he says
right.
and now he says my Father's hand.
That's right. Security from all outside forces.
Now
yes.
he's telling them, and they're not going to like this.
No.
He yeah. says, I and my Father are one. Ikad. That's
mm-hmm.
the Hebrew name, and it talks about in the Torah about one God.
Mm-hmm.
Now here Jesus is saying, the Father, I, and my Father are one. He's telling us. See, they were in the beginning. It says, in the beginning, right? Was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. They were all there in the beginning. And here he's telling them, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So now they didn't believe it, and so they're going to kill him. Just like Paul. Saul, who was a Jew, a Hebrew, he knew the Torah. He had a Christian stoned until his eyes were open, until he was changed, until he became born again, and then he was blinded for three days, until he saw, and he received the Lord, and look at what he did. Verse 31 says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not. Not for what he did.
That's right.
But for blasphemy. They were saying he said he was God. They're one.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law or in your Torah, I said ye are gods?
Small g.
Mm-hmm, small g.
Mm-hmm.
If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken.
Mm-hmm.
Say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world. Who did he sanctify and send into the world?
His son,
Yeshua.
And he
only
sanctifies us,
son.
Then. That's right.
He sanctifies us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God. He clarifies it again.
They got mad.
If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And,
that's right.
And aren't we also?
That's right. Absolutely.
He said that he is in us and we are in him.
That's right. And you think about it. See, all the Jewish people that heard him speak, they knew the history of what Antiochus Epiphanes did. They said, hey, this guy back then was claimed to be God too, and he wasn't. And so they
right.
knew that. So now they say, here's another man on the scene that's trying to declare that he's God. Well,
but the
Jesus
other man
yeah.
did terrible things.
He sure did. Jesus
did terrible things.
That's
and
right.
Jesus didn't do anything.
That's right.
That the Father
that.
Didn't tell him. And all
that's
the
right.
works that he did were good works. What?
That's right.
The man you're talking about, he didn't do good works at all.
That's right.
He exalted himself, put his own face in the temple.
Right.
And desecrated the temple. Like you said, Jesus never desecrated the
nope,
temple.
Sure, no, didn't.
Therefore, what? They sought again to take him.
That's right.
But what did he escape? He disappeared out
right.
of their hands,
that's
you
right.
know?
Hallelujah. Yeah. It wasn't his time yet. Hallelujah. So here they were. They got mad because he was claiming himself to be God, and he is God. He was never not God. And so they couldn't comprehend that he would say those things. But he was giving them the truth. So they got upset about that.
So this is the time of dedication.
That's
he
right.
walked into the temple, right. and he spoke these things at Hanukkah. When they were lighting the lights, you know, they light the lights from right to left.
That's right.
They take the center light. There's eight lights, and then there's one in the center. So there's nine candles altogether. The one in the center is called the servant candle, which
right.
represents Jesus, Yeshua.
He's the light of the world.
He's the servant candle.
Yes.
He's the servant candle. He's the one who lights each one of us,
mm-hmm.
right? So you take that, you light that servant candle, then you light the first candle on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first night, just light one candle. That's all, one candle. The second,
that's right.
The second night, you light the servant candle, then you light the second candle, then the first candle, the one from the night before. And so forth and so on until you have all of eight candles lit. And that, what do? They allow them to burn down the whole night. They're not big little, they're small candles. And so some people buy candles that have light bulbs in them, you know, or batteries. And they just turn one on each day.
That's right.
But
and they have all eight of them eventually lit, don't they?
All eight of them.
Yeah.
Represents the miracle
right.
that the oil, that there was only enough oil because, you know, they had desecrated everything. They had...
It ruined everything.
Taken everything. Destroyed the oil.
Yeah.
Destroyed everything in the temple.
God took them to one little flask of oil that was left. They found it.
They found one little flask of oil. And the miracle is that the oil lasted for 8 days.
Until they could make more oil.
Until they could make more oil.
It's incredible. It's amazing, isn't it? I went and got my book I wrote about the pictures of the Messiah to look at this picture. I went over that pretty fast. I might just touch on that before we leave. About the institution of Hanukkah and how it happened. Well, on Kislev 25 of the year 164 BC, it's when the Maccabees with Judas and all went in and rededicated the temple. Well, the Lord told me, now to find out when all this started, he says, back up 1 year. It takes me to 165 BC on Kislev 25. He says, back up the second year. You come to 166 BC on Kislev 25. Back up the third year to 167 BC on Kislev 25. This is when Antiochus went in and desecrated the temple with his abomination. Isn't it something? And so then we back up another 70 days and you come to Tishri 15.
Which is?
The first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
So
the ending of it was a Feast of Lights, and the beginning of it was a Feast of Lights.
So he came in during the Feast of Tabernacles
right.
and stopped the celebration.
He stopped everything.
And that feast is called Rejoicing
in the
Torah.
Torah.
Now we know who the Torah is, don't we?
That's right.
Yeshua is the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeshua, if we understand this, that both of these times of light, one was the time of conception, one was the time of birth.
That's it.
And so the time of conception was at Hanukkah. The
sure.
time of birth, see, he can even relate it to the stars, which you have in your book also,
yeah.
in the heavens. Certain things were happening at that time with the stars and the planets. We don't have time to go into
that's
that.
That's in Revelation
now.
Chapter 12, I think, yeah.
Right. And so here we have, you know, he wanted to stop the birth.
Sure did.
He wanted to stop the plan of the birth, you know. The enemy doesn't know everything, but he knows about God's appointed times.
Yep.
And so what this Antiochus Epiphanes, which is a picture of the Antichrist, he wanted to stop the most wonderful time, the most wonderful dedication, which is called Rejoicing in the Torah, because that's the time when, see, Yeshua, we believe Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right.
And on the eighth day, because it's also in 8 days, it's the only two that are 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And on the eighth day, he was circumcised. Every
mm-hmm.
Jewish boy is circumcised on the eighth day. That's according to the commandments and
right.
God's word. He told Abraham way back, a long time ago. And so that when that blood covenant is made, that's a that blood cutting of the blood is a covenant. That was a covenant of blood. Well, we have a covenant of blood
hallelujah.
Because of Jesus has shed
right.
his blood on
thank
the cross.
Thank you, Lord, yeah.
And so we have a covenant of blood also. So they wanted to stop this time of rejoicing and this time of the Feast of Tabernacles, you know. So they stopped it at that time, but that didn't stop Jesus from coming to the earth, did it?
Nope.
No, and it didn't stop the other things that happened. So what happens then, Pastor Gene was going backwards. That's why the numbers were getting larger.
That's right, because we're talking about B.C., not right? A.D., right?
So then when, praise the Lord. So then when they went in to rededicate the temple, what they did was they took over, they finished what they had started, what
He'd stopped him at Tabernacles.
He had stopped him.
And they were in the mountains, yeah.
So they finished it. They went, let's go ahead, we're going to go ahead and finish this time.
When they got back to Jerusalem,
you
yeah.
can't have you can't have a birth without a conception.
That's right. It's good, honey.
That's awesome.
That's right.
So here we have the conception of Yeshua. And see, so many people celebrate his birthday. Well, you could say that's the birthday of his conception.
Yeah.
Because even a Jewish person, they consider it a human being in the womb. Well, that's something the United States and a lot of other countries need to consider, too. And some people don't think it's a child until it's born.
It's not a blob.
That's a lie.
That's right.
That's a lie.
Right.
So the Jewish people know when the seed... the conception happens, that's the child is there. It may not be out where you can hold the baby, but the child is in the seed. It's in the womb. It's in there. The baby is growing in the womb. You know, the womb is the safest place. It should be the safest place for a child to be.
That's right.
It's not the safest place, though, in our day now because so many abortions that are happening.
So
the baby was there, conceived at this time of dedication.
That's right.
And then he was warned during the Feast of Tabernacles. So here we have both of these timetables. And, you know, like you said, that you counted the number of days. Both of these timetables line up perfectly.
That's right. They do.
They line up perfectly with any child that should be. Because God knows when the child's supposed to be born. Now, some people pick the date they're going to have a baby, like they're going to have a C-section or something. But, you know, there's a time to be born.
And a normal birth, yeah.
And God, yeah, right, there's a normal time to be born.
That's right.
And not saying that some babies aren't born premature, but if it's a healthy pregnancy and a normal time, there's always the right conception time. Most people will have things done, most things will happen normally, you know. I did with both of my children. I didn't choose a time to have the baby. The baby came when the baby is supposed to come.
That's right. That's right.
So here we have this fulfillment of both of these 8 days each.
That's right.
Fulfillment. And they're both pictures of the light.
That's it.
Well, you know, the light, when Yeshua was conceived, the light was hidden in Mary.
That's right.
Even though she had a visitation.
But when she walked into the room, remember, it said that John the Baptist jumped in his mother's womb.
when she saw her cousin Elizabeth.
That's right, because he was,
John was
6 months
but
older than
Yeshua. Before that, the angel came to her.
That's
and told her, and then she conceived. She believed immediately. She believed what the angel had told her, and so she was conceived without ever having been married to Joseph.
That's right. So anyway, Antiochus Epiphanes, his purpose was to change the times and the laws that governed God's appointed. He wanted to change the time of the year, and he also wanted the laws that control that. When did they do this? When did they stop all that?
Mm-hmm.
And we got a verse here in chapter 7 shows you what the false Messiah will do. In verse 25, it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time, times, and the dividing of time, which is the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble." It's amazing. So we have all these clues in the book of Daniel, don't we? Everything. It's just amazing what we have.
So if you want to know more about the end times, and Pastor Gene's book here talked about some things in Daniel, and we didn't go into the book of Revelation, but maybe next week we can do some of that. But if you'd like to have this book so you can study, and you can, it's really a course that you can study, and you can learn about the feasts of the Lord. All the feasts of the Lord are in this book. The charts that he talks about are in this book. Daniel and also the book of Revelation, and things that pertain to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're all in this book. And you can study them as the feast come. Like if you were to get it now, you wouldn't have to read the first chapter. You could go and start reading
about
Hanukkah.
That's right.
You know,
each
and then you can
lesson.
Read also about the calendar.
That's
you know,
right.
The calendar is in there. It's important that we know the calendar, because we can't look at our calendar and try to figure out when these feasts are. Because these feasts are always, like the Hanukkah always starts on a certain time. Every single one of them always starts on a certain time. And they all these feasts have to do, they all have a certain time. They don't rotate around.
Or float around during the year, right?
They always have a certain time.
That's it. Based on a new moon.
And they're all based on the moon. So if we don't know that, and then we get confused. So it's good to know. You need to know a little bit about the calendar as well. And know that the calendar, you know, even if you're going to go look at the calendar in the book of Revelation, you know, God goes back and he talks about 30 days, 12 months.
That's right.
30 days, 12 months. 30 days, 12 months. It's not like we have it.
365.
It's not even the way the Jewish people have their calendar now.
Yeah.
No, because God does things on a prophetic calendar.
That's right.
So we need to know the prophetic calendar, or you might want to call it the religious calendar, but I like the
spiritual calendar.
The word prophetic calendar, because God, you know, all these things are prophecies. All these things line up with the prophetic word that's throughout the Bible that brings us to the end times.
That's right. You know, if we didn't have the book of Daniel that we're studying right now, we wouldn't really fully understand the book of Revelation. And people have never looked at it with a Jewish thought. From Revelation 4:1 all the way through, it's not about the church. The church is gone. It's now talking about the Jews. It's going to cover
Israel.
What? Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. That's the whole thing that's revealed in that entire book.
It's about Israel.
It's about Israel. That's their time. It's not our time. It's mm-hmm. Jacob's trouble. So it's interesting. So if you'd like to get that book, all we ask for is a love offering of $25 for the book and maybe $4 for shipping and handling. We'll be glad to get it out to you. So just check in and mail it.
A great present, you know. This is a time of dedication, too. People give gifts during this time.
That's right.
Sometimes they give gifts, and they also give, you know, money or gifts. So if you feel like you want to give that type of a gift, we'd be glad to send this book to you. Many people have it. Many people are studying from it. Many people are teaching from it. They take it and they teach it. So there's this being taught in many churches.
That's right.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio program every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. You can go back and listen to this again on WCNO.com, or you can give us a call and we can give you some information. If you'd like to have a calendar, give us a call. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we will have service on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Nothing today, Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
So as we close,
every Friday.
As we close, if there's somebody listening right now that you don't know Yeshua, Jesus, if you have not met him, this is the time that you could dedicate your life to him for the rest of your life as long as you're here. We're in the last days. He's going to be coming back soon. So we need to be right with him. If we don't know him, we'll be left and we'll wonder what in the world's going on when this time comes. But the Bible tells us what we can understand from all this. And so we love you. We honor you. We're on this program because we want to see people encouraged, strengthened, raise the standard in the body of Christ to a new level. So as we tell you every week, we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat, shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.